Silver Bar. Don't wait for a 40% deep correction. Call 800-606-2070. That's 800-606-2070.
The Democratic presidential frontrunner for 2020 is picking up new endorsements. USA Radio's Chris Barnes reports.
Joe Biden's presidential campaign announcing the new round of endorsements, including from four South Carolina state lawmakers, including two African Americans. Biden also winning endorsements from a half dozen Democratic figures from eastern Iowa, including four former city, county, and union officials in the first voting caucus state. And his campaign's listing new support from five state lawmakers and union officials in the state of Utah, and 11 current and former Democratic officials in Arizona. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
More than 400 pilots have filed a class action lawsuit against Boeing, saying they covered up the design flaws in the 737 MAX aircraft. They were grounded worldwide following two deadly crashes, one in Ethiopia and the other in Jakarta, Indonesia. You're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Hollywood stars are performing a live reading of the Mueller report. The report, compiled by Special Counsel Robert Mueller's office, is being translated into a 10-act play that takes 18 actors to perform. That includes Annette Bening, Kevin Kline, John Lithgow, Justin Long, and Alyssa Milano. The performance was live-streamed by LawWorks, an organization dedicated to defending the nonpartisan role of the Department of Justice. The play is being billed on the LawWorks website as a historic live play that's ripped from the pages of the Mueller report. Other actors include Jason Alexander, Kira Sedgwick, Sigourney Weaver, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Mark Hamill. Viewers can watch the play called The Investigation, A Search for the Truth in 10 Acts, on the LawWorks website. The stream is free, although the organization is encouraging those interested to donate. A mentally disabled woman who has been ordered to get an abortion in the UK won't have to after all. The judge who ordered the abortion had acknowledged that the woman, who has the mental capacity of a 6 to 9-year-old, wanted the baby, but said she lacked the mental and emotional capacity to be a mother. The woman's mother, who is Catholic and a midwife, insisted that she would raise the child, and the Catholic Church argued the forced abortion would infringe on the woman's human rights. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Well, good afternoon. It is, what's today? It's June 25th, 2019. It's Tuesday. The sun's shining, and I think we're facing going to be hot the rest of the week. But that may be all I tell you about the weather, because I'm so thrilled to have wonderful guests here today, and I'm going to introduce them to you right now. I'm going to turn your microphones up. By the way, I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, and This is Teachable Moments in Business. We are on every Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I do hope that you'll come back and view this program on our Facebook, Teachable Moments in Business. It's also archived on the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce website by date and by program, not necessarily by title. But you can share this information with your friends. And today, the kind of information that we have available for my guests is awesome. And I think that the information that they're going to share with us probably touches many of our lives, and it's helpful for us to be aware of the program that they're involved in. So I'd like to first introduce the Executive Director of CASA, Tracy Heisler. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
She's been with CASA for a really long time. Like, how many years it was?
This is my 20th year with CASA. 20th
year, and so she has a lot of tales to tell, so to speak, or stories to share with us and information that will be very interesting. And Jeff Warren is a community outreach coordinator and also volunteer.
Yes.
Because this organization really is really grounded on having volunteers that support the programs that you manage, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, if it wasn't for volunteers, you wouldn't have a program.
Exactly.
Probably.
And I've got a long way to catch up, too. I've only been with the program for a year and a half. I got a long way to catch up.
Yeah, you do. Yeah,
yes,
I know. It's a tough act to follow.
It is,
that's for
very
sure.
Much.
Well, in preparation for today's program, I looked up CASA on the internet just to learn more about it. And rather than me telling you what it's about, I'm going to let you share with our listeners what the program is all about. You're based in Washington, New Jersey, and let's just start, Tracy. Let's just tell us what CASA stands for and what it does.
Sure. CASA is Court-Appointed Special Advocates. Our particular program is CASA Shaw for Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren counties. We're one of two tri-county jurisdictions in the state of New Jersey. So CASA volunteers are community volunteers who we screen and train and supervise to act as advocates in court on behalf of children who've been abused or neglected and are in the foster care system within the tri-counties. So our advocates will do things, they're appointed by court order, and they'll do things like gather information from the schools on how the kids are doing, talk to the daycare providers to see how things are going there, talk to the therapist and see is there anything that they need that they're not getting. And then every 90 days, they make best interest recommendations with a court report to the judge who's overseeing the case, so that the judge has the very best information possible on behalf of these kids.
Well, okay, so that gives us an overview of what the organization does. Now, this is when I posted information about the program this morning on my Facebook page and also on LinkedIn and my regular Facebook, one of my friends who now lives in Texas has two children, or had them for about a month. They were foster children, and he told me that CASA was extremely helpful for the transitioning of these children and the care of them.
Absolutely, because the CASA volunteer tends to be the same person throughout the life of a case. And for most kids in foster care, they'll have on average three different caseworkers, an average of three different foster homes. They'll have sometimes judges change, attorneys change, but the CASA stays the same. So the CASA is the historic repository of the child's case, and can tell you how many schools they've been in, can tell you what it is that the doctor ordered, can tell you what kinds of therapies they were getting contemporaneously.
Yeah. Well, what struck me in seeing the response from my friend in Texas, they had just been approved to be foster parents and were so thrilled. They went through, I guess you have to jump through a few hoops to get to that level. And they announced to the world over Facebook that they were so thrilled to be chosen as foster parents. Then they got the room fixed up. There were two little boys that were brothers, I think, and that they got. And they were just thrilled. And they shared on Facebook the fact that they were doing carpools with the kids, with the other kids' families. And they really jumped right in. There was a passion. There was a love for these kids. Mm-hmm. Gravitated them so quickly and just loved that opportunity.
Yeah, and I think it's also important that even though we do have very dedicated foster parents, we call them resource parents, and foster children will go to these resource homes, they also need an enthusiastic volunteer advocate, like a CASA, to be that independent voice for the court as well. Because there really is at times, as we know, Tracy, there's only so much at times that resource families can do.
Yeah.
That the CASA inevitably is able to provide even more information to the judge and to the county as to what is going on specifically with the children so that we can keep them safe, keep them, and ultimately get them to a permanent home and reunified as well with their family. And I think that's one of the great things about our program, and Tracy, you may want to talk more about it, just the success that we have seen over the years in terms of the judge taking CASA's recommendations and then the reunification with children coming back to their biological parents.
Yeah. Over the last 13 years that I've been with this program, of all of the recommendations that CASA volunteers have made to the court, the judges have accepted it 97% of the time.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's astounding.
That's wonderful.
Judges put a huge premium on this perspective that CASA volunteers can bring.
Yeah. So clearly this couple that I know was very well prepared for the children with the understanding that they would be going on. As it turned out that they had them for about a month. They took them on trips and did wonderful, you know, day trips and exposed them to a lot of really good opportunities. And in the end, when they left to go finally live with a family member, but they were good with that because they knew that the children were being cared for properly.
Exactly.
And the outlook was going to be really, really positive for them.
And that's actually a real key to doing this work well. Excuse me, either as a resource parent or a CASA volunteer or a caseworker, is being objective and recognizing that it has to be about what the child needs, not what you want.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So that's really... So in order to, I'm curious, how did you both, I know Tracy's educated in this field.
Yes, ma'am.
But what drew you to CASA in the first place?
For me, it was because my mom had been raised in foster care, and she had been significantly damaged by the experience. And as an adult, you know, she carried all of this trauma with her. And, of course, intergenerationally, your kids see the trauma that you carry.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
So it was actually my mom that found this in the newspaper as a volunteer experience and said, hey, let's go do this. So we went through the training together. We both got sworn in. We got our first cases as volunteers. And she started looking through her case file and said, you know what, I can't. This is too close to home for me.
Yeah.
And so I ended up with her case and mine and just fell in love with this opportunity to really change a child's story and send them off into a trajectory where they're going to be healthier and break those cycles.
Right. That's wonderful. Now Jeff, how did you get in?
Well, quite frankly, I went from the corporate world and wanted to get back into something that I had done for quite some time, which was dealing with grassroots community action and coming across CASA and what the mission was and helping children who are abused and neglected, children who don't have any choice in the matter. And it's something that I wanted to make a difference with. And doing the community outreach that I do working alongside Tracy and our other staff members, I felt that it would be a really good opportunity to really make a difference for children. But ultimately, when I did get hired, I went through the training process myself to actually become a CASA and to have a case myself. I wanted to have that experience of really affecting and making a difference for a child, and like Tracy said, to change a child's story. So that's where things went for me. I just wanted to get back into grassroots community action, and it's been a fantastic experience.
Jeff was really funny. He was doing his regular work, and then one day he said, you know, I'm thinking about becoming a volunteer.
Yes.
Can I do that?
And it was great. The training was fantastic, and I would urge anyone out there who might be interested to go to our website, casashaw.org. You can learn about the training. You can learn about what the overall mission is of becoming a CASA and how to do it. But the training, it's 30 hours. It's absolutely fantastic. The plethora of knowledge that you receive and the great training overall, it really shows you how many moving parts there are within the foster care system and how you can actually make that difference.
Yeah. I would imagine there would be a lot of moving parts with
very much
all the professionals and the judges and
But one of the things that we try to balance in our training is the best practice academic information, but also anchoring people with the core humanity of these children.
Yes.
Too much. I think that's one of the drawbacks sometimes in any kind of bureaucratic system is we sometimes lose sight of the individual and we start to think of, well, I've seen this case before. Well, no, you haven't, because this is a different kid, a different family.
Yeah.
And that's one of the strengths, I think, that our volunteers bring, is that they have a fresh set of eyes for every kid that comes through the system.
You know, I'm a member of BWNICE, which stands for Business Women Networking in Charity and Education.
Me too.
And you and you and I have talked about that. And that's an organization that caters to women, with some of whom have children, who have been involved in domestic violence. And they bring up the fact that this is it's more pervasive in our society than you would ever realize. I'm sure, you know, where the children themselves are concerned, there's probably things going on that we just we don't even realize that are...
I think we hear about it more these days because of the type of media that we have and that we have been accustomed to. I think that abuse and neglect have been ongoing throughout time, quite frankly. We just hear about it a lot more now. One of the things we recognize at Casa Shaw is that trauma happens with everybody, and everybody is able to handle that trauma in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing we know is that even though children do face trauma in whatever community it is, it could be an affluent community, it could be a community that's not as affluent, trauma is trauma, and we want to be there for those children. We want to be there for the community in general to educate them on what trauma is, how we can engage it, how we can combat it, and how we can really make a difference, whether it's children or whether it's adults as well. I think, right, Tracy?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's actually been a big focus of our program over the years, of enhancing the training for our advocates above and beyond what National does to ensure that they have the best practice tools available to them. So we have partnered with Resilient Youth Somerset in Somerset County to bring this information about developmental trauma in particular to teachers and to law enforcement, because they're often the first people who see this at the front line when kids are responding to their trauma in maladaptive ways, to help them understand what's happening and give them some tools on how to help intervene in a way that doesn't re-traumatize the child.
That's really interesting. So I mean, with regard to training, I was curious to know if you have like a you must have a national training organization that goes to each of the groups or the
Well, we have a curriculum that we get from National CASA. That we all actually take turns. We split up the different things to facilitate. We bring in experts from the outside to come and talk from other organizations. Because we recognize that there are some things like substance abuse, domestic violence, poverty, that there are others where that's their sole focus, that they can better share that information.
Because you've, say, over the course of the last year, how many children have you served?
240 this last year.
Wow, that's amazing.
So we're serving currently all of the kids in out-of-home placement in Somerset and Hunterdon counties.
Mm-hmm.
In Warren, we are anticipating that we hit about 85% of the kids there.
Wow.
Not that, don't take that literally. We didn't hit 85% of the kids in Warren County.
Exactly.
We served.
You served them.
85% of the kids in Warren County.
But I think it's important to note also that even though we've served 100% in Hunterdon and Somerset counties, it doesn't mean that those, that that we're not going to have any more cases in the future. We still are going to need volunteer advocates in those counties because there's turnover, there are new cases.
Right.
You know, things happen where that 100% isn't necessarily going to stay 100%. So for those listening in Hunterdon and Somerset counties, we could certainly use you as well as a volunteer advocate.
It's funny. From a marketing standpoint, the term that I often use is called fusion marketing, where you collaborate with other entities that serve the same clientele, but you're not in competition.
Right,
in this
right.
case, it's like a fusion marketing thing with the police forces and other medical professionals and the schools. So you're collaborating with them to educate them, and at the same time, they may have opportunities unfortunately, but to refer them to your organization,
yeah.
or to the court system, knowing that they're going to get the help that they need. So that's you know, the other thing I often like to talk about are case studies, and we talked about this before going on the air, that I liked I like to talk about what was the problem that may have been addressed, and how was it? How did the student, the child in this case, get helped, and what was done to help them, and what was the end result? And are you able to follow any? You know, when you're an organization like this, these 240 kids, how many do actually know down the road how they're doing? I often wonder about that.
So the only thing that, because once the court order is terminated, we can't follow them.
So there's no.
But what we can do is see how many come back into the foster care system.
Oh, that's interesting.
So on average, a little more than 11% of kids who are reunified with their families come back into foster care within 12 months. Those are all children in the DCF system.
Yeah.
Out of the kids that we've served, which is over 800 now for the last 13 years, only 3% have come back into the system over 13 years.
That's a great number.
That's remarkable, isn't it?
It is. It shows that the program works. It shows that the mission is actually working.
Yeah. So as if you can cite, Jeff, just a simple case study of a situation that you may have been involved in.
And he's going to mutate it so we can protect the confidentiality.
Exactly. I'm going to do my best to mutate it here.
Okay, that's okay. Just so our listeners have a sense of what the process is and what happens.
Yeah. I mean, there was an abuse case that I was specifically dealing with as a CASA. Four children removed from their home. Stayed at a resource home, and over the course of many months, going to court every single month, writing a court report for the judge to see and for the judge to read over, and after a good 8 to 10 months or so, the children were finally reunified with their mother because the mother had gone through all the steps that she needed to go through, take and complete, in order to have her children return to her home. And again, I will say, this was from a pretty affluent community, quite frankly. And while there were certain aspects of the case that were challenging at times, and still are to an extent, myself, and I actually work with a fellow CASA as well, so it's her and I working in conjunction together on this case, we've been able to see success with just having the kids back home with mom. That's what they want. And regardless of the abuse that children may have faced, they inevitably want to be with their biological parents. They do, because that's what they know. They know mom and dad. They want to be with mom and dad. But again, with my case, the mother went through the process of doing what she needed to do to get her children back into the home. And that date, that court date, was really phenomenal. And there were some misty eyes in the courtroom that day, because the children we knew were going to be going back to, three of the four children were going to be going back to mom, and we were extremely happy about that.
Yeah, that's, I have relatives on the West Coast that have been involved with court systems and counseling of families, but I never, and they actually wrote a book, which I won't go into detail about, but in having read the case studies in that book, I didn't get the sense that the children and the families went through the kind of process that you're outlining here. It sounds far more sophisticated than what might have been done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it must be very reassuring. So once the children are placed back in the with a family member, is that the end of the as far as the court part of it is concerned?
No, it generally stays open for another 3 or 4, up to 6 months to make sure that things remain stable.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we remain appointed throughout that time until litigation ends.
It is, okay. So you have at least in that time frame, you have a chance to see how they're how it's working out.
Absolutely.
For them.
Right.
I have my visit coming up this at the end of this week with my kids.
Yeah.
So I'm going to see how they're doing. The last time I was there in the home with their mother, things were going great, and I'm hoping that that's going to continue, of course.
We'll say our prayers, and that indeed will work.
And I'm going to give a shout-out to biological parents, because in this system, they really get beat up. I mean, things happen that you know, their kids have been removed, and for any parent in our culture to have your children removed is like the ultimate shame, right? You couldn't deal with it. So my experience has been that most parents love their kids, and want to do right by their kids, but they don't have the tools. They don't know how. Maybe they were abused themselves as children. Maybe they're addicted. I remember one mom that I had on my case who severely neglected her children because she was high all the time. And in talking to her about why she couldn't get sober, she disclosed that she'd been raped at 15 and she'd never told anyone before. And that's what was driving her addiction, was because it was easier to be high than it was to experience that pain and trauma every day. And knowing that, we were able to make a recommendation for victims counseling in addition to the drug and alcohol treatment to help her get clean so that she could care for her kids.
Right.
So I think most of the time, parents just need a lot of help. And that's one of the areas where CASA can help is in our recommendations. If we see something that a parent needs that's not in their case plan that's assigned to them, then we'll ask for that as well.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, how many people have children that were never trained on how to take care of them in the first place?
Exactly. There's no manual.
And there's no manuals. And
I wish there was a manual for me and my kids.
I know. And I've often heard, I have friends who had adopted children and who may have come from difficult, you know, backgrounds. And it tore the husband and wife apart just dealing with those children because they didn't have the training. It doesn't happen, you know. It's like a trial and error,
exactly.
I think, in a lot of cases.
And so some of the ways that we've dealt with that in our program, as I mentioned, we're working with Resilient Youth to train people on what trauma looks like so that when you do get these kids who come from trauma backgrounds that you recognize what's happening and why it's happening, not just, oh, my gosh, out of control behaviors, I don't know what to do. That's one part, but we've also embraced the Nurtured Heart Program, which is a way to relate to either intense or traumatized individuals that doesn't re-traumatize them and can build relationship with them. So all of our advocates have been trained in trauma, and all of them have had the opportunity to be trained in Nurtured Heart as well.
Wow.
Yeah, we always, as I think as a society, like the phrase, you know, you got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. But here at CASA Shaw, we understand that you need the tools. A lot of individuals.
Some people don't have bootstraps.
Some people don't have bootstraps. You got to give them the tools to be able to pull those bootstraps up. And that's what we like to do at CASA Shaw.
Wow. Well, we're going to talk some more about this. We're going to hear words from some of our sponsors, and we'll come back.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. This program airs every Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I hope that you'll share information about this program, actually give them the link for it if you can. Also, this is because it's a video podcast, the podcast portion of this is archived at the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce website by the date under my name, Vicki Lynn Morgan, and also Teachable Moments in Business. So I hope that you'll share this information with people. We're talking to my wonderful guests, Tracy Heisler and Jeff Warren, who are with CASA, and that's short for court-appointed special advocates. And we've been learning about the work that they do. And let's keep the ball rolling here with some more information.
Sounds
I know
good.
That you obviously are supported by quite a few volunteers. So you have 121 volunteers.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
That's awesome. Yeah. And so can you explain the volunteer program, and if people are interested in getting into this, who should they contact, and what's the next step?
I think the very first step that somebody needs to take if they do want to become or they're interested mm-hmm. in learning more about what it takes to become a CASA is they need to attend an information session. And at that information session, our volunteer trainer, whose name is Karen, will take that person through the process of what it takes. It's about a 45-minute session where they learn about the organization. They learn about what it's going to take to become a CASA volunteer advocate. And then there's the interview process, correct?
Right. All of our advocates have a lot of hoops to jump through because of the vulnerable population that we deal with, we have to be sure who our volunteers are. So after the information session where we try to give you the worst case scenarios and actively scare you, if you come back, we know that you have a real heart for this. So there's local, state, and federal background checks. There's a child abuse registry check, sex offender registry check. As Jeff mentioned, an in-depth interview. I like to tell people we grill you like a hot dog on the 4th of July to find out who you are, where you're from, what your motivations are for volunteering. We require 4 unrelated references as well from people outside. And if all of those things fall into place, then you're accepted into training. And once you're in training, it's still a mutual review process. You see if this is still a good fit for you, and we see if you're still a good fit for us.
Yeah.
So at the end of the 30-hour training, people go to court and are sworn in by a family court judge as a judiciary volunteer, and they observe a court hearing for the day to see what that system looks like. Mm-hmm. So then we pair the advocate with a child in need of a CASA, and submit an order of appointment to the family court judge so that you're officially assigned as a judiciary volunteer, which gives the advocate access to the child's child welfare files, to their medical records, to their therapy records, to their school records. So we can get a full picture of who this child is, what it is that they need, and then the recommendations that we make can help them to not just survive foster care, but thrive mm-hmm. while they're in it.
Boy, that's really interesting. So if someone who's listening, or if they know someone who would be interested, they should call your office. Is that what they should do?
Or you can visit our website.
At CASASHA.org.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All of the dates and locations for the information sessions are listed.
Okay.
And Jeff just updated the training, so that's all there too.
Good.
Yeah, the next training is going to start September 9th, and it will end in early October. So if anybody listening, that time frame were to work potentially with your schedule, again, CASASHA.org is our website. You can learn not only about the organization, but the information sessions and training sessions.
Yeah.
And here in Hunterdon County, if people are familiar with volunteer guardianship for the elderly, this is very similar, but for children.
Mm-hmm.
I actually met with volunteer guardianship a few years ago to try to compare notes to see if there was anything that the other was doing that we could incorporate in our programs for the adults versus the children.
So spell the website for us.
CASASHAW.org.
What does the SHAW stand for?
Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren County.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So those are the counties that you
Our official name is Court Appointed Special Advocates of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties, New Jersey, Inc.
Okay.
So CASA Shaw was just a little rolled off the tongue, a little easier.
All right. Now, this is a nonprofit organization.
Yes, ma'am.
So it's even though you work with a court system, you're an independent nonprofit group.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So, which means that you need money to run it.
Yes.
Okay.
It's very important.
Yeah, we need to put food on the table here if we're going to do a comprehensive job.
Yeah, so we are disparately funded. We get local, state, and federal grant funding.
Mm-hmm.
We have private donations, local foundations. We do fundraisers a few times a year. So all of that comes together to provide these services for kids in our community. So we are a very thrifty organization. Historically, anywhere from 92 to 96% of our revenues go to direct services to the children. We're a very lean organization.
Absolutely. I will say, too, because we were plugging the website before, casashaw.org,
yes,
we have a fantastic-looking donate button that is right on the homepage. Right on the homepage, a great-looking donate button that anybody can press and go from there if they
would like
to contribute.
And the other fun thing about the Donate Now button is that you can choose what you want to donate to. We have something called the Connie Fund, which is monies that go directly to the kids for whatever it is that they want, whether it's baseball cleats or camp or a magazine or whatever. It goes directly 100% to the kids. Another one is a traveling tutor initiative. We know statistically that 50% of kids in foster care will not graduate from high school. 68% of kids in care have an individualized education program, an IEP, because of academic deficits. So we created the traveling tutor program because we saw that there was a need and not necessarily funding or transportation for kids to have individual tutoring. So the traveling tutors are CASA volunteers with educational backgrounds that we got grants to pay them about half the cost we would of a regular tutor, and they go right to the kid's home and provide in-home tutoring.
Such a great program.
That is wonderful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so far, I got to find some wood to knock on.
Yeah.
Every child who's been served by our tutors for the last 5 years have graduated to their next level. Nobody's been retained. Mm-hmm. And we've had some superstars who have jumped up two grade levels. We've had others who passed with a C minus, but by golly, they passed with a C minus.
Exactly.
So, that's wonderful.
Who probably would not have if they didn't have the traveling tutor.
So, and then the third button is the general program.
Yeah.
But so.
Yeah, there's a bit, there's a, there are tremendous discussions about vocational training today as being every bit as important as going to college. I know my husband learned drafting before he went to college. That's how he earned when he left school. He didn't have any debt. Of course, this is a long time ago when education wasn't as high as it is today. But is there any? Are there any discussions or opportunities for the kids to learn a trade?
There's actually. It's so funny you say that because as we are serving all of the children, we just formed an ad hoc committee to look at how do we get to the next step. How do we enhance the advocacy for the kids and opportunities for the kids? So that's actually one of the things that's on our list is creating a scholarship fund for vocational education training for the kids who want to go. Because we do know that there is some money for tuition for kids who want to go to college, but there's only 3% of kids in foster care who graduate from college. So if we make it easier, make it more accessible where you don't have to go through this huge process. That is one of the things that we're looking to see as a next level.
That's really interesting. Well, you know, I work for the Small Business Development Center at Raritan Valley Community College. There are actually 13 centers in the state, and Raritan's center opened up in 2001, which is when I went there. So I've been there all those years and have counseled, I mean, thousands of people, and I've taught quite a few classes. But what's interesting, the SBDC moved into a brand new building on the Raritan Valley Community College campus, which is the Workforce Development Building. And I think they're going to be, I'm hoping they're going to expand into other trades beyond which they have what they have right now. But they have a beauty school that's incredible.
I've heard it's awesome.
It is awesome. I had my hair cut there one day, so I can, and I know the teacher.
You can attest to it, yeah.
Yeah, and I know the. The teachers who developed the program, and then when they moved into that building, they were able to expand the facility, which is, I mean, it's state-of-the-art stuff. And I know they have an automotive program, and they have, I think they have an HVAC probably, and I know there's some other ones. But that might be something to look into.
Yeah, we've already talked to Elizabeth Kosia there about how can we partner
to make sure that
our kids have access.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're meeting the demands of businesses in the Somerset and Hunterdon counties. They're looking for employees.
Yeah.
And and it's funny, a couple of years ago there was a freeholder, some of the freeholders, I think it was in Hunterdon County, said, what do we have to support a program like this for? Everybody goes to college. Well, that's not true.
Not at all.
As my mother-in-law says, somebody's got to drive the truck.
That's exactly right. And, so I think that sounds really good.
Yeah, the trades are so important in our communities.
Yeah, definitely.
Each and every community, trades are so very important. And listen, it's no secret how expensive college is and how expensive college has become. So, you know, if there's a child that's, you know, weighing what they want to do as they're getting ready to enter adulthood, the trades is a great, great way for them to thrive.
It really
is. And the outcomes for older youth coming out of foster care are abysmal. Mm-hmm. More than a third end up homeless within the first 6 months of leaving care. They have significantly higher rates of physical illness and mental health issues than other kids in the population, significantly higher rates of early parenthood, of some of them end up committing crimes just to survive and then end up incarcerated. So it's in everybody's interest, not just people who know kids in foster care, not just people who volunteer with CASA, but every one of us. It's in our interest as a community to support these kids, to help them transition successfully into adulthood and to be contributing members of our society.
And I think, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think it's also important to note, too, and if people do go to our website, which we have been promoting, we have some great stories and success stories that are on our website. Tracy can probably speak to this more than I, since she's been with the program longer, but the amount of taxpayer dollars that CASA programs save, it is astonishing, the millions of dollars over many years that have been saved within the state because of CASA programs doing what they do within the foster care system. We're talking millions of dollars.
And it translates over a number of domains, whether it's helping a kid stabilize so that they leave a higher charging residential facility, going into a lower charging resource home, or being reunified with their families, whether it's providing services to the family that they're stabilized so that the child doesn't come back into care. All of those things end up supporting families and saving tax dollars. And for every dollar of state funding that CASA receives, the individual CASA programs around the state, not just Shaw, generates three more.
You know, one of the things I was just thinking here while you're sharing all of this is that the two big issues that we're facing today as a society is autism in New Jersey, which is they say the more autistic children in New Jersey than any other state, but also the drug situation. So these are areas I'm sure you must be training in so that you're prepared to handle those situations.
We definitely like to educate the community as much as we can.
And with the opioid crisis, I mean, for people who look at Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren counties and think, well, you know, we're an affluent community, that's not an issue here, you guys are wrong. For the first time, we're seeing dead parents, not just impaired ones. And we've had orphan children coming into care because their parents have OD'd. It's a real crisis here. One of my colleagues in Ocean County, I was reviewing one of her grant applications today, and they have over 700 kids in care in Ocean County alone, and 100% of their cases are drug-involved, and the majority of those are opioids.
That's so sad. And thank goodness that your organization exists.
What we'd like to do is try to educate our communities in Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren counties on what opioid addiction is, what meth addiction is, because meth is making a comeback.
We heard it's on the rise in Warren.
It's on the rise in Warren County. And quite frankly, throughout much of the United States. I mean, New Jersey's not special in this regard. And what we try to do is create an opportunity for people to learn more about it through our social media presence. People who want to follow us on Twitter and Instagram, it's @CASA_Shaw. We like to post articles. We like to post columns and op-eds from individuals and experts who write about and know
about this unfortunate phenomenon that happens. And we want to make sure that we're educating the populations so that that they know it's not just a certain sector.
Right. And best practice interventions.
And best practice intervention, yeah.
Because, yeah. I mean, it's going to take everyone in a community, not just the social services, not just the nonprofits, not just the hospitals. It's all of us supporting one another to combat these kinds of ills and problems.
Yeah.
And how do we help loved ones who are struggling with addiction? Because we know intuitively that somebody who has an addiction issue doesn't make them bad. They have a problem.
Exactly.
And how do we help?
Yeah, yeah. You just can't say stop it. Yeah. You can't say stop it if it were that easy.
Yeah.
You know. If it were that easy, Jeff and I would be skinny people. We both like our cookies.
That's Well, we've covered quite a few topics here, and I just we have a few more minutes left. What just open the floor. What are some of the things that you want to share and your final statements about the organization?
I think for me, it's that our program works in the community. Mm-hmm. Success story after success story is what people will see. It is what the community can embrace as well. CASA, not just CASA Shaw, but the CASA program itself really does make a difference in the lives of children, again, who have been abused and neglected by no fault of their own. And something that I have seen working up close and personal with my particular case, other cases, and just how we can all come together. We really can all come together to do good things for our community. With a little bit of effort, a little bit of volunteerism, good things can certainly happen.
And the thing I would leave you with is to remind people that kids in foster care are our kids. They're not some strangers.
Yeah.
They're the kids who go to school with our children. They're our neighbors.
Yeah.
They're the kids on the baseball team. They're the kids in the band. They're the kids whose families have challenges, and we need to embrace them because being in care, they already feel marked. Mm-hmm. They feel shamed. They feel like they're the other. And the biggest predictor for a kid overcoming these kinds of traumatic events, one simple thing, it's being engaged with a caring, stable adult who cares about what happens to them.
And that's a CASA.
And that's a CASA.
That's a CASA, yeah. So for those folks who are listening to this program, if you're a member of a church group that was looking for opportunities to support families in their community. CASA is certainly a place that they can go to provide that support. If you're involved in a networking organization or a chamber of commerce, please look at this. Go to the website, take a look at it, and see what and to determine what your organization can do to support. Because you're never going to be not looking for support. This is an ongoing thing. So,
and let me say, too, that if you're one of those people, we can also come and help you. We can do trainings on child abuse prevention. We can do trainings on the impacts of trauma on children's brains. We can do presentations about how to engage with people in your workplace who may have been victims of trauma as children. And that can have impacts on how they respond as adults.
That's one thing we really didn't get into.
No matter what size your business, you can do that.
Any business. Some companies have lunch and learn type programs, or they may have clubs within the corporations too.
Absolutely, and we love coming out to talk about what we do, and about how to prevent. So, because we'd love to be put out of business because there is no longer a need, because there's no more child abuse and neglect.
So we've been speaking with the executive director, Tracy Heisler, and also Jeff Warren, who's the community outreach coordinator and a volunteer.
Yes.
And among the in the group of – they have many volunteers for CASA Shaw. And I want to thank you for coming here today. For one last moment, please share the website, the phone number, if they would like to call you directly.
So our phone is 908-689-5515. We're based in Washington, up in Warren County. And our website is www.casashaw.org, CASASHAW. You can also follow us on Facebook of CASA-Shaw or on Twitter, CASA_Shaw. And Instagram is?
Casa_Shaw.
Okay. Jeff did the Instagram.
Okay. And if you have an organization that wants to explore this, please contact them. It certainly is something that would be participation would be gratifying.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yes.
Knowing that you're helping the children in your county or in the state would be wonderful. Yeah.
They'd be working with a great staff, too. We have a great staff.
And I think you're fine examples of that great staff.
Oh, thank you so much.
What you've shared with us. So this program, Teachable Moments in Business, airs every Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan. I own Rushmore Mentoring Group, and I help business owners and entrepreneurs to face and address the problems that and the questions that they have for operating their businesses so that they can achieve their goals. If you have someone that you would recommend that we interview for this show, it can be anybody in any type of business. It makes no difference because, as I tell people, have a pen and pencil handy. For sure, you're going to learn information that you really can use and to also pass along to other people. My phone number, by the way, I'm based, Rushmore Mentoring Group is based in California, New Jersey. Our phone number is 908-832-9544. That's 908-832-9544. You can also contact me by email. The email address is V, as in Vicki, V-M-O-R-G-A-N, at Rushmore, R-U-S-S-M-O-R.com. And please, you know, speak up. If you have a topic that you would like us to cover, we'll be sure to do that. So I look forward to seeing you again next Tuesday afternoon from 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And thank you, Tracy and Jeff, for being here. You're terrific. I love it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial Advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial Advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The White House has a new press secretary.
Stephanie Grisham, who has handled the media for the First Lady, will now be dealing with reporters on behalf of the President. According to the First Lady's tweet, Grisham will also serve as communications director for the White House. Iran says come July 7th, it will start ignoring more of those nuclear restrictions it had agreed to under the 2015 nuclear deal with President Obama. The announcement comes a day after the Trump administration announced new sanctions on Tehran. National Security Advisor John Bolton in Jerusalem reacted to the news.
The threat of a nuclear Iran is very real, as are the threats of Iran's support for terrorism, its ballistic missile program, and its other malign activities in the Middle East.
This is USA Radio News.
Finally, there's a way for you to get into the blockchain, the hottest financial sector without all the speculation. Now, enjoy a 27% annualized payment each month without the ups and downs of Bitcoin. Seen on programs broadcast on Fox Business News, blockchain data centers offer an equipment leasing program in the explosive digital asset marketplace. Inspired by entrepreneurs who sold picks and shovels during the gold rush, the money is in the mining equipment used to manufacture dozens of critical digital assets. Not a security, IPO, or note, blockchain data centers have a proven turnkey equipment sale leaseback program with a 27% annualized lease payment deposited into your bank account each month. Don't miss this one. Stake your claim today. Call 800-600-3388. That's 800-600-3388. These valuable lease contracts won't last long. Call now. 800-600-3388. 800-600-3388. Equipment offered poses a financial risk to owners. Consult with financial professionals before purchasing. Not an offer to buy or sell a security which requires an offering document.
Vice President Mike Pence was in Miami. He was rallying pro-Trump Latinos.
Like so many of the families here, you've lived the American dream. You've had the opportunity in this great free society that your families came to, my family came to, through a system of legal immigration that gave you the opportunity to become Americans and to prosper.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell is defending the independent status of the Fed against criticism from the president and many others.
Congress chose to insulate the Fed this way because it had seen the damage that often arises when policy bends to short-term political interests.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker has today signed into law the legalization of recreational use of marijuana. Illinois now becomes the 11th state to legalize pot.
Illinois exemplifies the best of democracy.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
America is built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
A former Fox News chief political correspondent is not a fan of his old employer. Here's USA's Chris Barnes with more.
In a promotional video for Front Page Live, a new left-leaning media venture that he's part of, Carl Cameron explains why he joined Fox News in the first place and what made him leave the network.
The idea of fair and balanced news appealed to me, but over the years, right-wing hosts drowned out straight journalism with partisan misinformation.
Cameron now teaming up on that venture with Joseph Rahm, an author and reporter on climate science and climate policy. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The national average for gasoline has now declined for the seventh consecutive week. USA's John Clemens has more on the report.
The price dropped 2.5 cents a gallon down to right below $2.65. But according to Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.com, that price will soon be increasing.
Prices at the pump last week declined basically due to previous drops in the price of oil. And that's why perhaps this last week of decline, the seventh straight week, may represent the last weekly decline we see for some time. It's likely that retail gas prices soon begin to pick up steam.
With the USA Radio Network, I'm John Clemens.
Take us with you on your computer or mobile device and listen anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The White House has a new press secretary. Stephanie Grisham, who has handled the media for the First Lady, will now be dealing with reporters on behalf of the president. According to the First Lady's tweet, Grisham will also serve as communications director for the White House. Iran says come July 7th, it will start ignoring more of those nuclear restrictions it had agreed to under the 2015 nuclear deal with President Obama. The announcement comes a day after the Trump administration announced new sanctions on Tehran. National Security Advisor John Bolton in Jerusalem reacted to the news.
The threat of a nuclear Iran is very real, as are the threats of Iran's support for terrorism, its ballistic missile program, and its other malign activities in the Middle East.
This is USA Radio News.
If you're over the